Uh-oh, pressure's on. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Do we have anyone here who's wearing shorts today? Do we have any shorts? It's supposed to be warm this week. Come on. No shorts, people, huh? After church? Okay, 40 degrees, I will throw the shorts on. So that's my legs got to get some sun, in case you didn't notice. All right. So welcome, everybody. If you've been with us before, we want to say thank you for joining us again. If you're new here, we just want to say welcome, okay? You've probably been thrown into a little bit of a weird situation. You walk in, you see tables. We're not serving dinner. I apologize. Hors d'oeuvres will be later if you'd like after the meeting. There's a meet and greet in the back in the coffee shop afterwards if you're new here and you want to know more about our church, okay? So for the first 3 months of 2025, we've been presenting a series titled Walking with Jesus, covering the chronological order of his life beginning with his birth. For this series, we've been using a book called The Harmony of the Gospels. This is different than your average Bible, but what it does is it really just is an organized version of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it just puts the events in order as they happened. If you look at each book individually inside of the Bible, you can get lost pretty quick. They are not designed to be read in a linear fashion. They are written as the events of Jesus Christ through the eyes of the author. It doesn't happen until you compile them into something like this that you can really connect the places, the people, and the lessons that Jesus taught. A modeled life that we should see as the perfect example in our own faith walk. Our plan is to cover the entire life of Jesus in three sermon series, okay? We're about two-thirds of the way through the first series. Next year, we'll cover part two. And then in 2027, we'll finish up with part three. And I know you're thinking in your mind, man, that's a long time, 2027. Would you believe me if I told you February is almost over? Okay? We've lost 2 months already. 2 months. What have you done with it? It's gone fast, hasn't it? 2027 will be here faster than you know. So with this in mind, today we're going to discuss our eighth lesson in the series. For the past 7 weeks, we have been presenting and discussing specific moments in the life of Jesus Christ, from his incarnation to his early childhood, his baptism and call into ministry, his temptation in the wilderness, John the Baptist recognizing him as the Lamb of God, the calling of his disciples, and then last week, his first miracle, the turning of water into wine in Cana. Today we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to pick up with a single verse that we find in John 2:12. And this verse says, after the wedding, he went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother, brothers, and his disciples. It's a change of pace from our previous lessons that we have heard in the last several weeks. There doesn't appear to be any significant moment or any real aha moment attached to this. It seems like it's just a plain verse. The reality is, this verse is literally walking with Jesus. Really, we're just walking. But walking with Jesus was never just a physical event. It was a full-on experience. So we're going to get ready to show a video here in just a second, but I want to prep you for this video. How many in here have ever seen the show The Chosen? Okay, bits and pieces of it or the whole thing, doesn't matter. The Chosen does a really, really good job of depicting several times where Jesus, his family, and his disciples go for a walk. Now, I'm going to get ready to play a video that doesn't exactly depict this moment, but it is very, very similar in nature. And I just want you to take a few minutes, watch the video, and I want you to realize that walking with Jesus was more than just exercise. It was an exercise in life. Lisa?
Charge button. I will need it.
Kena, how much good did it do?
I hope you guys can see what I'm talking about when walking with Jesus isn't just walking with Jesus. It's conversation, it's interaction, it's planning. There's so much more for it, okay? So after the excitement of wedding in Cana and observing what is considered to be the first miracle of Jesus, we come to the verse in our lesson today. One lacking tons of detail, but filled with lots of information. And I know in your head you're thinking, there wasn't a lot of information there. But there is a lot more information there than you think. So we're going to piece this out today, okay? As I prepared for this week, a main theme and 3 points kept popping into my head. The theme was the word road trip, okay? And as the case with any good road trip, you got to do some planning. God pointed out 3 things to me. You ready? Number one, places. There was a destination in mind and a route to take, okay? They had a plan to get there. The second one, people. There were specific people brought along on this road trip with Jesus. And the third and last one, there were specific reasons for making this trip. And I know you're all in your head like, okay, you got all that from that one sentence? Yes, yes, I did. And I'll explain it to you here in just a minute, okay? But real quick, at your tables, I want to ask you guys some questions and I want you to talk for just a minute or two, okay? How many of you have ever been on a road trip? Could be with family or friends, even coworkers. And at your tables, I want you to discuss the best road trip that you have taken and who you took it with. Go, you got a few minutes. Right, I know I'm going to cut you guys short. I gave you guys a good question because I can hear all kinds of chatter out there. And I like that. That's good. I hope you learn something about somebody else sitting nearby or at your table. Because there are some great road trips. As I just heard a couple, that is awesome. So when we go back to the 3 things that God was revealing this week, the first one we talk about is places. Jesus and his family and friends were about to embark on their first road trip together here. The destination was a town called Capernaum, and the starting point was a town called Cana. So if we look on this map, we can see Cana, and I really like this map because it shows all the geography, and you can see all of the hills, the mountains, the valleys, and all this stuff. This was not a straight walk. This was not like getting on the road out here and walking into town in Nashville. It was not flat. It was up and down and sideways and back and forth. And then they would travel from Cana all the way up, if you look to where the Sea of Galilee is in the upper right-hand corner, to the town called Capernaum, okay? This trip was a normal trip for them. And what we don't see from the text is that it's an important route, and it would have been taken by many, many people. It is a route that we can still travel today, this same path that Jesus would have traveled over 2,000 years ago. Think about that. We can still travel that today. In 2007, a couple of guys decided that they wanted to recreate this route that Jesus traveled and that was described in the Gospels. So they set out to mark a hiking trail that would have closely resembled the same pathways and trails used during the first century period, okay? This trail, known as the Jesus Trail, begins in the town called Nazareth. Who was born in Nazareth? All right, see, we're all paying attention. And it travels all the way up to the town of Capernaum that we pointed out earlier, okay? And it winds through all of those mountains, valleys, hills, pastures, forests, you name it, to get there. Along this entire trail, there are stops in major areas with historical and religious significance. Okay, such stops as Nazareth, which we just talked about, Sepphoris. Anybody know the town of Sepphoris? Okay. Sepphoris is a Jewish city, an ancient Jewish city, that is quite possibly the site of where Jesus' mother Mary was born. Okay? They were in the process of rebuilding this city during the time leading up to where Jesus kicked off his ministry. He would have been very familiar with it. We have Cana, which we talked about last week with the first miracle and the wedding. Arbel is at the base of a mountain called Mount Arbel, and it literally sits right on the western edge of this lake here. And when you stand on Mount Arbel, you can see across the entire Sea of Galilee. You literally can stand there and point out location after location after location after location of where Jesus was doing ministry. Okay? If you travel just a little bit north from there, and it's not on this map, there's another little town called Migdal, which is the home of Mary Magdalene, if you've ever heard of Mary Magdalene from the Bible. And then we see the Mount of the Beatitudes, okay, and it's not listed on here again, which is the possible location for the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. And then finally, we get into Capernaum, which Capernaum is really just the economic hub of the entire area. The route that Jesus and his followers took from Cana to Capernaum would have been very familiar. Think of it this way. We're here in Nashville, okay? Nashville is really not any different than Cana or Nazareth. Small, not a lot here. But could you find the next biggest city from here? What would it be? Lansing? Battle Creek? What about smaller than that? Hastings, Charlotte, right? Could you find your way there, or do you need a map? You can find your way there for the most part, right? It's a pretty easy thing to do. Jesus and his followers were the same way. They had traveled this road so many times and this route so many times. They didn't need a map. They didn't need GPS. They didn't need Google to help them get there. This was very, very common to them. The Jesus Trail from Nazareth to Capernaum, is roughly about 40 miles. Would have taken about 4 days to travel that distance. 4 days. So you're thinking 10 miles a day on average. Doesn't seem like a lot. In that country, it's a lot. Okay? That's a 15, 17-mile trip every day in that terrain. We're starting off in Cana. So Cana takes us about 10 miles short of that. So it's only a 30-mile trip. We get to shave a day off. Isn't that fantastic? How many of you would like to walk 3 days instead of 4 days? Especially after a full belly with wine and some food, we're going to take the trip to Capernaum. The point here is that Capernaum was the destination, but it was just as much about the route. The trip would have connected them with cities and the countryside. It would have traveled through fields, forests, and rocky walkways. Each of these places would play a role later as he taught parables, lessons, and other things for his ministry. Okay? So enough about the places. Let's talk about people. Our next point from the passage covers people who were traveling with Jesus. We read that he took his mother, Mary, his brothers, and his disciples. I think we can all agree who Mary is, correct? We're good there? Okay. So let's talk about his brothers. Anybody in here got brothers? All right, I got one. Okay, good. What we know from other parts of the New Testament is that Jesus had four brothers. Four of them. Anybody got four brothers? Oh, there's a couple of you. You big family people. That's fantastic. I got four kids. I don't got four sons. No way. I got daughters. They're worse. Just kidding. They're not worse. So what we read is Jesus has four brothers, but what we don't know for sure is how many of them were with him on this journey. But we do know that it's obviously more than one because they use the plural term brothers, right? So at least two, but to me it doesn't make any sense. They just came from a wedding, an important wedding. And as Pastor Joel last week touched on, the wedding in Cana was most likely a relative or very close family member and a friend or a friend to Jesus and Mary. So does it make any sense that only two of the brothers would come? Chances are, if it was that important, they were all coming. And not just Jesus' brothers, it would make sense that his sisters would probably join along as well. But we're not going to talk about them. We're going to stay focused on his brothers. We also read that his disciples were with him. They had been involved and invited to the wedding as well. So we have Jesus as the connection between two very different groups here, his family and his disciples. So I want you to stop and think for a moment here. You ever gone to a family function and you brought the new person with you? The new person you're dating, the boy or girl you like, a family friend that is your friend but not really friends with everybody else in the family. And while it's not necessarily stressful for you because you're part of the family, how stressful is it for the person being brought along? Think about that. Anybody ever been the new guy or the new girl? It's a little stressful, isn't it? See, it's stressful because they don't understand the family dynamic. They don't get the inside jokes. They struggle to know when someone is being serious or are they just joking. There is usually an awkward newness to these first few meetings. For Jesus, spending time together, family and friends, was a way to connect and grow. He never missed an opportunity to teach a lesson and learn about someone or even bring people together. Jesus' disciples had been with him maybe 2 or 3 weeks at most. And while they'd put their faith in him and they'd believed in him, this was also new. Also new. They were still trying to figure out the difference between who they thought Jesus was and who the guy was standing in front of them. That's a big difference. You ever had the expectation of somebody, and then when you start to spend time with them, it's completely different? This is where it is for them. They thought they knew what they were biting into or buying into, and then it all changed. Their preconceived notions of the Messiah were being challenged, most likely daily. Even for his family, the performing of a miracle must have created serious questions. Jesus' own family doubted who he was at times. For those of you that got brothers, your brother ever doubt something you said, something you did? You can even be sisters, I don't care. Family members do that, don't they? They create doubt. So imagine your brother being Jesus, the Messiah. He's perfect. You're the sibling. How do you live up to that? That's a lot. It's a lot of stress. But as much as these two groups were separate, for Jesus, it was always about bringing them together for his purpose. Trips like this created an environment in which this could happen. What better way to get to know one another than to go on a road trip for 2 or 3 days with strangers? Anyone here ever served on a mission trip? Raise your hand. When you go on a mission trip, okay, isn't it amazing what a little time together can do to create lifelong bonds between strangers? I know I have lifelong bonds with people I served with in Mexico. I still talk to them, and it's been 10 years. It is amazing what that happens. And Jesus used these moments to reveal the plans for his future and to answer many of the questions that were lingering. These family and friends were the foundation to something, and they hadn't even realized it. They hadn't even realized it. Do you think at that moment that they thought, I'm getting in at the ground level. I'm going to get in at the ground level here. They had no clue. They had no clue what was happening. They were so caught up in the moment. that it was about to change. Okay? Let's go to our third reason, purpose. When we think of a road trip or any travel for that matter, the usual question comes up, are you traveling for business or pleasure, right? As we covered a few weeks ago, and listen, if you weren't here, it's okay. If you want to get caught up or you want to hear some previous messages, I'd encourage you, gc3.org. Go to our website. The messages are on there. We have some wonderful tech people in the back who make these things magically appear, and you can go back and listen to them. I'll be honest, I like to go back and listen to them occasionally just to reconnect, because I find something new when I listen to it again. It's like watching a show or listening to a song. The more you do it, the more you can connect with it, okay? So I encourage you to go back. But as we covered a few weeks ago, Jesus had been commissioned. From here on out, his purpose was to prepare those around him and to finish the work that he'd been sent for. This trip was business. It was all business. But, and there's that word, but, Jesus did it with a personal touch. He cared enough about every person involved in the trip that it wasn't just business, okay? Jesus had gathered his people and was now moving his base from Nazareth, the town in which he had been living, doing carpentry, to Capernaum. Capernaum was an important city during this time. It was located along a road called the Via Maris, and I want you to think about highway, okay? Via Maris is basically a fancy highway, and it would connect two big cities, two big areas, Damascus and Egypt. So I want you to think of this route real quick, okay? We're thinking highway, and I want you to think about, everybody know where I-94 is, okay? I-94 connects Detroit to, what's the big city west? Chicago, right? There are plenty of little cities, little exits that you can get off on, single gas stations, but there are also some other big cities you can get off on during that route. The Via Maris was exactly I-94 from Chicago to Detroit, okay? When you're on there, though, there are a few stops, and I want you to think of Capernaum as maybe pulling into, let's say, Kalamazoo. Decent-sized city, a lot of hubs. I picked Kalamazoo for a reason, because in Kalamazoo, you can head north on what road? 31, right? 131. So 131 will take you straight north to Grand Rapids. Capernaum was this way, okay? Capernaum was a hub. There were lots of little finger roads coming off of this that people would travel from Damascus to Egypt, and they could jump off in Capernaum, refuel, buy supplies, trade, go to work. I know that they didn't really refuel, but you know what I mean. They had to fill up the donkeys. So, but this was why they stopped there. It was that big city, and this is why Jesus picked it, okay? It was an important commercial stop on that route. A large portion of workers in Capernaum were fishermen. Can you figure out why? Right on the sea. It is what they did. In case you didn't notice, there's not a lot of other water around there. But if you wanted fresh fish, you picked it up while you were in Capernaum. Other people were farmers. Other people were merchants. But because of this location, Capernaum provided the perfect location for Jesus to start spreading the gospel as we know it today. As his message and popularity grew, his reach would expand rapidly beyond the city by means of the visitors who passed through Capernaum. His fame spread, and many came to know him through the people who took the accounts back home with them. Jesus had a purpose when he selected Capernaum as the destination. But this trip was so much more than people, places, and purpose. Jesus was intentional and asks us to live our lives in that same manner. Our road trips are to have action associated with them, not just words. Let me ask you this question. What good does it do to plan vacations or trips and never go on them. It's a waste of resources. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. For some people, it can be a waste of money, depending if you hire a travel agent or whoever. I don't know about you guys, but I don't think it's any fun to plan a trip and never plan to actually go on it. Maybe some people do, but I don't see a reason for it. Okay? In our own faith walk, what good does it do to hear the words of Jesus, but never live them out? Never live them out. Matthew 7:24 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on rock." He's not asking us to just make plans and never do anything with them. He's asking us to make plans and follow through. So how do we walk with Jesus in our own lives? There are three principles for walking like Jesus I'd like to share with you today. When we apply them to our own lives, a road trip becomes more than just a trip. It has action and purpose behind it. Principle number one, go slowly. My plan was to say that really slow, and I didn't do so well today. Go slowly, okay? We live in a world where patience exists in very, very small doses. We rush from one thing to the next, never taking a moment to stop and smell the roses, right? We're too busy going. We forget that in the world of life, there are so many things that we miss out on. Ever been driving somewhere, and then when you reach your destination, you realize you don't remember any of the trip? That happens to people besides me? Okay. That scares me, Adam, because you're a truck driver. I think I followed you to work the other day. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But that happens, right? We get there and then we realize, I don't remember any of the other cars. I don't remember the houses. I don't remember the exits I passed. I don't remember the speed I drove. I just made it. My car was on autopilot, right? That's scary. That's very, very scary. But you know why it's scary? Because this is how Satan wins on the road trip Jesus wants us to take. He gets us to focus solely on the destination, and we miss everything else. We miss everything else. Satan consumes our time so well that we forget to slow down. We miss out on building relationships, ministry opportunities, God's natural beauty, sharing the gospel, and living out our faith. We have become consumed with go, 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 and this is not what Jesus wanted for our lives. Psalm 46:10, part A, says, he says, "Be still and know that I am God." I don't know about you, I struggle to be still. I struggle with it. You can ask my wife. I struggle to just be still. As I'm standing here, I got 100 things running through this brain that I should be doing and things I got to do when I get home, things I got to do tomorrow when I get to work. I struggle to just be still. And because I'm struggling to be still, I'm missing out on God moments. So I want to encourage each of you to find time for God. Slow your lives down, find a time, and spend with Him. I said find time. You know, Jesus in the video that we watched, Chosen, said the word soon. Okay? When I say find time, you're thinking, how long? How long do I got? 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, half a day. I don't care. I don't care if it's 2 minutes, 20 minutes, or 20 hours. But we got to find time. Even 2 minutes is a lot for some people, okay? When we remove the blinders and observe what He has placed around us, we will see that the fields are plenty and the harvest is ripe. we will see what he has prepared for us. Personally, I've committed this year to doing the Bible reading plan on YouVersion. There have been a day where I've missed, and so the next day I'll pick up two, but I've tried to stay with it, okay? I've tried to stay with it. And I have been able to feel more connected with God, and I can feel him poking me and prodding me in areas of my life, areas that he wants me to work on, or areas he wants me to grow in, or areas he needs me to help somebody else in. He is causing me to think. He is causing me to ask more questions. It's an amazing response to me going more slowly and creating time for him. And you're thinking, when do you have time to do this, Nick? I do it on my way to work. I already have the destination plugged in. I don't got to pay attention to all the other stuff. I just listen to him on my way to work. I check out. But I'm not checked out. I'm growing and I'm learning. What I do know is that life doesn't have to be a sprint to the final destination. It can be a journey with so much more if you'll slow down and let him go with you. Okay? Principle number two. This trip for Jesus and his partners is about growing steadily. Okay? It wasn't just about getting to Capernaum. And I know you're like, well, you just talked about it and go slowly. No, we're going to talk about it and grow steadily. The journey there had plenty of opportunities for his team to grow individually and collectively. This wasn't just a walk. This was a lesson. As they traveled, they shared stories and lessons from their own lives and from what they had observed. I remember a time in dental school, oral surgery rotation at U of M Hospital. At the time, I thought I wanted to be an oral surgeon. I decided I did not want to be an oral surgeon. Just let me be a normal dentist, okay? We are there. There are five or six of us on this rotation, and the head of the oral surgery department, man, this guy had a thick accent, okay? Extra thick. And he was very, very intimidating, and he was loud and, if I'm being honest, maybe a little bit obnoxious, okay? But we would check in every morning, five or six of us, and whoever they put us on call with that morning, and I remember checking in with him that morning. Any other morning, we'd just trail behind in our little white coats, and we'd walk behind whoever was leading us for the day, going wherever they would go, and we'd go into rooms and see patients, and we'd stand there quietly. Not with this guy, okay? From the moment we stepped foot out of the room, it was question, 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 and he is pounding us. We get in the elevator. Now you're trapped, right? Please, Lord, don't let this thing break down because we're going to be stuck in here. Question, 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 question. And I remember one of my fellow students didn't know the answer to the question. And I'm not going to lie, this guy asked a lot of questions. I didn't know the answers to most of them. It was crazy. Didn't know the answers. So he lied about what the answer was. He made it up. Okay? I will save you the graphic, but there was a whole thing about lying and BSing. And the whole rest of the day, that doctor pounded him with questions because he knew that he wasn't honest about just saying, I don't know. Okay, this, for that doctor, was getting us to grow. It was preparing us to do our own rounds. It was preparing us to do life inside of the hospital. I don't know if Jesus operated in that realm, but I'm sure there were plenty of teaching moments as he went through it, okay? As they traveled, they shared stories and lessons from their own lives and from what they had observed. I'm sure there were plenty of questions from the people that were with him about his early life that only Mary and his brothers and sisters could probably answer, right? They learned the similarities and differences between family and friends and how each of them were selected for a reason. They would have recited scripture, heard parables, been taught. These couple of days on the road laid the foundation for the early lessons from Jesus' ministry. Nobody in that group knew that in 3 to 3.5 years, leadership was going to change, and it was going to change drastically. So as we read over and over again in Scripture that Jesus used just about every opportunity he could to find those, to find and teach those around him, here at Grace, we offer a few options for growth potential. If you're looking for one-on-one growth, our mentoring program is a great place to start. You can learn about who Jesus is in way more detail and why he matters for our lives. If you're looking to grow in community, our home groups are the perfect place. You can learn and grow with others in a home setting, digging deeper and more intimately than you can just sitting here on a Sunday. If you're looking to grow or gain knowledge in a specific area, our Grace U classes are available. Grace Church has spent many, many years putting together a rotation of over 50 classes that are taught here at the church. You want to learn about family? Family. Kids? Kids. Money? Money. Old Testament? Scripture? You name it, it's out there on the wall. And if you're new here and you're like, what's he talking about out on the wall? Go out this side door, take a right. If you go to the left, you're going to the restrooms. If you look to the right, there's a wall, and there are plenty of little plaques on the wall, all different colors, color-coded by our game philosophy, that you can take. And they take about 6 weeks, usually hour and a half per class. It's a great thing to learn and grow in your faith and understanding of what we teach here. Okay? So what is stopping you from growing in these areas? Jesus wanted his followers to grow, and he even became frustrated when they didn't demonstrate growth. Luke 9, 37 to 56, and I'm not going to read this whole thing, tells us of Jesus' frustration with them as they failed to do as he had commanded them. They had been taught what to do. They didn't put it into action. He became frustrated. Anybody else ever been frustrated when you taught somebody to do something and they just don't follow through? Yeah, I've been there once or twice. And I can tell you that the thing I was frustrated about clearly didn't serve the purpose that Jesus had taught his disciples about. You know? Kind of like way down on the pecking order that you couldn't file alphabetically or whatever it was, you know? So, what I do know, though, is that he never stopped steadily pouring into those that he would trust his ministry to when he was gone. He continuously poured into them right up until his death. There wasn't a spot where he said, "Yeah, I think I'm done, I'm going to check out, take the last 6 months and go on a cruise." Didn't happen. Just didn't happen, okay? Principle number three is the one where I probably struggle the most, if I'm being honest, and it's give selflessly. This road trip to Capernaum wasn't about Jesus. I know that seems really strange to say. It was about the future of the ministry, but it wasn't about him personally. He spent his time on the road teaching others, healing the sick, rebuking the leaders of the synagogue, and most importantly, glorifying his Father. That's where it's at. His entire existence here on earth was a selfless act. Mark 10, 45 gives us, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus gave the last 3.5 years of his life to those around him. He poured out everything he had to make sure they were prepared to carry on what he had come to do. Even as he hung on the cross, and this to me is just the definition of selfless. So even as he hung on the cross, Jesus was willing to put his own pain and suffering aside to attend to the needs of the thief who wanted to get to know him. Think about that. Even as he is suffering and in pain, he put it aside. He continued his selfless act even after his death by sending the Holy Spirit to be a helper for all of us. So are you giving selflessly? Here at Grace, we've pushed each of you over the last several years to think in two locations when serving. The first is here inside the church. Are you looking for a place to give your time and talents here at Grace for God? The staff and elders would love to help get you connected in a ministry inside the church. We would love to. And if that is something you're interested in and you feel called to do, come find me after church. Come find Ryan. Come find Lisa. Come find Leslie. Come find any of the other elders. Just find us. We'll help. We will help get you plugged in somewhere. We have opportunities for everyone. The second place is in your community. And this is a place I think sometimes we forget about because it's less easy than here. Okay? You have an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus to others. The simple action of modeling Jesus, or as we heard last week from Pastor Joel, filling the water containers and serving the wine, can be a selfless act. I encourage all of you to step out in faith and give selflessly as Jesus did. So as we wrap up today, I want to finish our road trip right where we started. Planning your trip starts with identifying your place, your people, and your purpose. It doesn't have to be an extravagant adventure. It doesn't have to be this big deal. It can be a daily trip to a place like the store or your work, breakfast, the coffee shop, any of these places. But you're in the bigger grand scheme of things, your trip will never reach its full potential if you don't slow down long enough to enjoy it. Okay? If you don't grow enough to become something better and learn to give selflessly to those along your journey. Again, if we're modeling Jesus, walking with him was never a physical act, but a true experience. Okay? Let us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for everybody who was able to make it here today. Lord, I want to say thank you for all that you have done in modeling your life to us. Thank you for the words and scripture you have given us. What a great guide that you have provided for us for our lives. Lord, for those who are struggling to slow down and find time, can you help create time in their lives where they can take a moment and just check in with you and see what it is you want them to do this week? Lord, for those of us that are struggling to grow, can you point out a location in our lives in which we can grow and do better? And Lord, the selfless acts that you place in front of us, can you tap us on the shoulder a little bit harder? And most importantly, will you come alongside us and grab our hands and walk with us as we show others what living selflessly looks like? Lord, I ask for safe travels home for everybody today. And we ask all this in your name. Amen.